7 o'clock. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley. Jackson Ogden has moved over here and taken over the reins from Julio, who's training. What's up, Jackson?
How you doing, Bink?
Jackson Ogden, no relation to Jonathan.
No relation.
I was just talking some Christian Wilkins.
I just saw that.
How about that, man? 57.5 guaranteed, 5 games. How about that, Raiders?
Oh,
how about
my gosh.
The Raiders?
Well, I mean, 1 year into that deal and they're already cutting ties. Something must have gone really south.
I mean, I think the Raiders are going to be improved, but yeah, let's get crazy. Not get crazy. You see what's going on with the Buffalo Bills, right? They're on Hard Knocks.
Oh, are they?
I love Hard Knocks. I think it's still fun, man. I know teams don't want to do it or whatever, and they changed that rule where it didn't matter if you're first-year head coach now or made the playoffs the year before. Anybody can be eligible for it now, but they're everywhere. And, you know, the Chiefs, they're not a big fan of it. They did it once when Herm Edwards is here, but they did have that film crew following them around all last year that you're just now finding out about from ESPN, because ESPN – starting the 14th, is doing The Kingdom, 2 episodes every week for 6 total, about the Chiefs' 2024 season. And I told him last night, Jackson, I was like, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. It talks about the history, a little bit of the team and the dynasty, but you know the ending. You know the ending, but we'll still watch because you still watch Titanic because you
right.
knew that boat was
right.
going to sink, right? We knew the boat sinking.
You're going to watch a horror movie even though you know
yeah.
some people are probably not going to make it.
Don't
you know?
Pick up the phone or don't answer the door.
Right.
Don't take a shower.
You're going to watch it, though.
Yeah, you're going to watch it. You know they're going to die.
Already watched it once. Can't hurt me anymore.
But anyway, the Bills are on Hard Knocks, right? And they're chasing them all around and stuff. And, you know, Josh Allen's the MVP. And right now everybody loves Josh Allen. They love the Buffalo Bills. It's like they like the Chiefs. They love the Chiefs early on, right? Oh, man, great little story. You know, Andy Reid's funny, big dude, mustache, funny dude. But then they started winning. And they started kicking everybody's
exactly
ass.
Exactly right.
And they made everybody cry. And they don't win Super Bowls because of the Chiefs.
Of course.
If you're in the AFC, it's a big problem beating Mahomes, who has 17 postseason wins. And Josh Allen is 0-4 against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. But there was some dumbass radio host out in Michigan, right, talking about the downfall of the Chiefs, right? And, part of their bit, their hot take was – well, once they had a Hallmark movie, I knew that would have been the downfall of the Chiefs. They were talking about Josh Allen. She was talking about Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills. Newsflash to you, dumbass. The Bills have the Hallmark movie this year. So, and Patrick Mahomes wasn't even in the Hallmark movie. But the Bills are in the Hallmark movie this year. I don't know if Josh Allen will be in or not, but I'm certain that there'll probably be Bills in it. Watch him throw DeMar Hamlin or something on there. But the Bills have it. It's a Buffalo love story, just like the Kansas City one. So they're getting all the attention, man. Everybody's talking about Buffalo and Allen's MVP. You got Hard Knocks. You got the Hallmark movie. You know, welcome to it, Buffalo. Enjoy your minute where people love you, because eventually, if you turn out good, because if you're going to be hated universally, you got to be good. The Patriots were hated universally, but they were good. The Chiefs have been universally hated, but they've been good. So have fun, Buffalo.
It's much
couldn't
better.
Have to a better team.
It's much better than being the Dallas Cowboys, who are universally hated and they haven't seen a conference title game in forever. You know, when you're a fan and you were watching New England just dominate, and you go, God, I hate those guys, right? Like, I can't stand them. Now that the Chiefs have become that, it's the greatest feeling in the world.
No, it is. It's fun. I mean, it certainly is fun. I mean, I remember all those years you're watching, you know, Tom
just tear your heart out
in the Super Bowl. Yeah, you're having your beanie weenies, your nachos, or whatever.
Right.
And you're like, man, I want to see this team lose. I just want to see this team lose.
You weren't even rooting for your own team to win anymore. You were just hoping that guy didn't get another one.
God, yeah, exactly. If you had hindsight, you think, you know, your guy, you want him to have more rings than that guy. And it could have been really close. A few games go here and there. Like, Pete Carroll not running the ball on the one and throwing it, and Russell Wilson throwing an interception that gave Tom another ring.
So or
you think
the
about
Falcons,
the closest of Mahomes,
you know,
and him. Yeah.
The Falcons just don't completely melt and have the worst collapse in 28 NFL
to
history.
6? You're talking about 28-3.
Not 28-6.
23. It's on the rings, too, the 28-3.
Oh, my gosh.
So check this out, right? So worst to first.
All right.
Are you a fan of, I don't know, putting W's and L's. And by the way, our phone line is 913-586-7965. When you see the schedule, I love the schedule release.
Me too.
I think it's fun. It's always been enough. I remember when they used to let me come in here back in like 14 to 15, like 11 o'clock at night after Royals games, like me and Pete, right, we're in here talking about the Chiefs schedule because they put it out. But then it's become a spectacle now. Last couple of years, you know, they slowly trickle them out. People hit refresh on their phone all day long to see, ooh, and they piece it together whether they're playing the week four, week seven, because, you know, morning shows from Fox to CBS to all of them, they'll put that one game out, right, or the international games.
There's way too many leaks now, you know?
There is, but they like it, I think, because people are talking about it. They love it. It becomes a topic of discussion.
But I do miss the time where it all came at you at once, and you were like
baseball.
Here we go.
Baseball just sends you an email, man.
Baseball said, here's 162. Next year. Enjoy. Yeah.
Middle of the day. They'll throw out the baseball schedule. But regardless, the W's and L's. I mean, it's always a fun exercise, right? I think a lot of people do it. I've done it too. You look at it and say, win. Oh, maybe a loss considering it's on the road. You know, you go W's and L's. I'm sure you've done it.
Of course.
I say that most people do. But here's why I caution not doing it. I didn't do it this year. And because you get burned on doing it. Like, think about all the people like the Jags a couple years ago. That comeback win, Lawrence gets that playoff win, beating Herbert in the playoffs. Because poor Justin hadn't won a playoff game either. So screw the Chargers. But so everybody liked Lawrence, and then all of a sudden the Jags went from the penthouse to the crap house like really quick, man.
I mean, they
getting Dougie P fired.
They even started the next year 7-3, I believe, 8-3. They were rolling, and then out of nowhere, man, the wheels fell off.
But this stat's been out there, and ESPN put it in this for the sake of this article, because I'm going to use their ranking worst to first. Since the NFL realigned to 8 4-team divisions in 2002, 25 teams have gone from worst to first in their division in a single season. There was no such teams in 2024, so it didn't happen last year. That was an asterisk. The 2023 Texans are the most recent example when they went 3-13-1 in 2022, then 10-7 in AFC title, South title the next year. Think about that, my friend. Think about 20 of the last 23 years, a team has won the division after finishing last or tied for last. So it's going to happen this year.
Most likely.
I mean, it didn't last year. I get it.
But that's an anomaly.
But worst to first, their number one candidate, I looked at NFL.com, looked at ESPN. They've got the 49ers, who finished in worst. This is coming off a Super Bowl year. And they make it first. They're, I'll go NFL, I'll go ESPN bet odds instead of FanDuel. I like using the FanDuel quite a bit, but just for this, for the sake of this article, it's what they have. And they have the NFC West winner being the Niners at +150. They got the Rams at +175. I have seen this flip-flopped in the Rams winning the NFC West. I still think they do. But they had him number one from going from the outhouse to the penthouse.
I think it's reasonable. If you get a healthy season out of those guys. I mean, last year, McCaffrey goes down. Brandon Ayuk goes down. A lot of problems. Purdy got injured at one point.
But a lot of players are coming back. As you mentioned, McCaffrey's coming back.
Right.
Ayuk's coming back.
But they lost a lot.
Trent Williams is coming back. They did lose a lot. You know, Debo's now in Washington.
They lost Hufanga, the safety, which was a big part of their defense. I mean, they lost some key pieces to be able to pay Purdy.
My biggest problem with the Niners is they paid Purdy. And yes, he deserved to be paid. I get it. But you didn't capitalize when you weren't paying him. Because he was making seventh round, last pick of the draft
that
money.
That feels like a big missed opportunity.
Yeah, that's that window of opportunity. It's like the Royals being number two in Major League Baseball on team ERA.
Right.
And yet can't hit. I mean, that's the problem. So you paid Purdy. We'll see what happens. Number two, they had the Bears in the NFC North. Right now, I mean, that would be, you know, supplanting. Could it make that big a difference having Johnson go from the Lions to the Bears? Will that make that a big difference? You buy in Caleb Williams? Oh, I saw the videos, Dave, him throwing a pick.
Right.
Again, it's practice videos. Who cares?
Right.
I was making fun of it last night because it showed TJ Watt walking in with an oscillating tower fan. And that was the tweet. And it's like, a lot of guys have tower
fans. It's the time for overreactions.
But NFC North, Detroit Lions are the favorite in ESPN bet, +140. Packers, +260. The Vikings, +350. The Bears, at plus 450, the worst odds in the division. That's going to be a very tough division.
It is. I mean, that was a division last year that saw three playoff teams. It had a 15-game winner, a 14-game winner, and an 11-game winner. And the Bears were the Bears. But that's a very strong division with a lot of the key pieces coming back. I understand Detroit lost both their OC and DC. That we'll see how Dan Campbell does without the play calling of Ben Johnson
on the defense, but they had a lot of injuries. I get it. Aiden's coming back. It's going to help.
And they still went 15-2.
But again, that OC makes big difference sometimes.
Oh, for sure.
Number three was the Patriots, 4-13 last year. And again, two teams have done this 25 different times. So right. Going from worst to first, it does happen. The Patriots in the AFC East, I still think, even though that's some thunder, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's some thunder.
That is some thunder.
The Patriots, I don't see. I think that's still the Bills' division. As much as I make fun of them, I still think that they'll get there and the Chiefs will beat their ass.
I think New England will be greatly improved.
I think Vrabel's going to have the team.
Vrabel's the type of guy that's a no nonsense. We're coming in here and turning this thing around. But Buffalo, to me, still has way too much.
I love the draft pick, Kyle Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Washington State. I was a big fan of his. I was really hoping the Chiefs would get him, but they got him. And then I think Drake May has something.
He's got something.
Yeah, I think
big arm.
I think, and Vrabel is a great coach.
I agree. I Tennessee firing him never made sense.
But I don't think they're ready yet. And number four, they had the Saints at 5-12. It's going to be very similar this year. Sorry, ESPN, but the Saints are going to suck. And they're going to suck.
I mean, they downgraded at quarterback, and they weren't even good at quarterback.
Yeah, their second-round pick is their truth. So I don't like that one. The Titans, they have number five in the AFC South. I don't see the Titans.
Probably not.
I think Cam Ward makes them better.
Can't be worse.
I think they spent a lot of money on defense last year. Didn't work out. They still picked first in the draft. I'll go over the rest of them. We'll take a timeout here, and I'll go over the rest of them here, and we can laugh and have fun because one of these is from the AFC West that they can see rising up and taking the champs.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden producing the operation. Speaking of thunder, where is it? You guys are all around the city, man. Where is it pouring? It's about to pour out here at the studios in Mission. It's about to pour. Where is it pouring? Just stay away from St. Joe tomorrow. Don't need that. Of course, I'll go inside, so everything will be fine. But you know those nice practice fields out there, the two of them, instead of being indoors. So at least you have that going for you there. But the worst to first, now keep in mind, they're ranking these for the teams, all the teams that finished last. Like the teams that finished last, who do they think has the best chance to go from last to first? Because again, it's been pretty dominant, 20 of the last 23 years. Worst to first, they had the San Francisco 49ers be the most likely, followed by the Bears, followed by the Patriots. And then for some reason, the Saints. NFL.com, by the way, put Saints last, and I agree with that assessment.
I would agree with that one.
So they have the Saints at fourth. The Saints are not going to be a good team this year.
Not
Titans fifth. Talked about them. Number six, the Raiders. Odds of winning division, 7.1%. Odds of making playoffs, 23.9%. Keep in mind, the AFC West did have yield three playoff teams from a year ago. Can they be one of them? Which one are they going to put out? Because I'll push out. I'll tell you this much. I think the Broncos and the Chargers, but I think Geno Smith gives them credibility. Did lead the NFL in passing completion percentage 2 years ago. I mean, he can do it. Man, I like Brock Bowers, too, at tight end. I mean, they're loaded then. I love Crosby on defense. We talked about Christian Wilkins now being – they got rid of him after being their key free agent signing last year. $57.5 million for five games played. But – that's a major, major stretch, considering I think three teams actually sitting better than the Raiders in the AFC West.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will give the Raiders is they made a massive upgrade at head coach. Pete Carroll is
100%
worlds better than Antonio Pierce. I also think they made an upgrade at quarterback. Geno Smith is better than Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew.
He's a pro's pro.
Exactly. You know what you're getting with him. Is he the top of the league guy? No. But you know you're going to get a pretty good starter out of him.
And he's a good leader. People like he's very accurate.
Sometimes that's all you want. And they added a really dynamic aspect to the offense in Ashton Jeanty. This loss of Christian Jinty's Wilkins, though, is big. I mean,
no, it is.
Their defensive line was looking pretty nice with him and Max Crosby together. No Christian Wilkins, that really hurts them against the run.
It's a guy that can't get healthy for him. Only five games, serious foot injury still, kicking in guaranteed money. No, I don't want him. Don't text it in. Don't want Christian Wilkins. By the way, Lake Lotawana is chiming in from the 816 saying it is pouring out at Lake Lotawana at this point. I'm sure a lot of places in the city it is pouring, but we have a report now.
There you
Again,
go.
This is not Action 4 News or 41 News. This is pretty unscientific, but we just kind of do the old test, just stick your head out the window, and it's raining. But anyway, Lake Lotawana. So it is the seventh least likely team to go from worst to first. They have the Giants. The Giants, listen, man, there's some talent on that team. Quarterback is not one of them. I did like Jackson Dart in college, but Russell Wilson right now will be their starter. Did you see him underthrowing everybody? Like Russell Wilson, that right now he's their quarterback one. They've named him quarterback one for the New York Giants. And Brian Daboll, he did great things with Josh Allen. You know, forget, but come on now. Josh Allen had talent too. It's like being a catching coach for Salvador Perez. You know what I mean? So Josh Allen had the talent anyway. Did Brian Daboll help him? Yeah. But also, it's hard not to remember Brian Daboll being the offensive coordinator of the 2012 Chiefs that went 9 weeks in the season without a lead, matching the 1927 Buffalo Bison. I also think Brian Daboll will be the first coach fired in the NFL this year as well.
He's on the hottest seat.
And I'm shocked he was brought back this
year. Same
with
the GM. They're both on a very, very warm seat.
The 2024 record for the G-men, 3-14. Odds to win the division, 3.3%. I think that's pretty damn accurate, to be quite honest with you. But they have them at 7. I think that's kind of accurate. Cleveland Browns, they have at 8. Cleveland can't get out of its own way. Their odds of winning their division, 2.7%. Fourth in the division, odds of making playoffs, 9.8%. Keep in mind, they had an interesting draft. They had an interesting draft, drafted two, I thought, good running backs. You got two quarterbacks in Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel. It didn't make sense to take them both, to be honest with you. I think they kind of wasted a pick there. Got Kenny Pickett, that, you know, Kenny Pickett's all about. Joe Flacco's their starter at this point. I think they do make a switch week 5 to 6. But Joe Flacco, listen, talked about him, good postseason quarterback. 10-6 in the postseason with the ring. Are the Browns going to get to the postseason? No. They unveiled their new helmet yesterday on the shores of Lake Erie. Did you see that?
I did.
And the cameraman fell in the water.
I saw the guy fall. I mean, can they do anything right?
No.
Can the Cleveland Browns do anything right?
No. They can't, so...
I mean, even you mentioned they took two running backs. Quinshon Judkins is finding himself in a little bit of legal trouble.
He is.
He hasn't even signed his contract
and I
yet.
I really liked Judkins. Myles Garrett's still there, right?
They got him. Denzel Ward. They've got a couple of nice pieces.
Remember Myles Garrett wanted out of there, too?
Oh,
he
yeah.
wanted the hell out of there.
Well,
he was, paid him.
Myles
he was like,
Garrett's
I love
thing
Cleveland.
Is, I want to win a Super Bowl, man.
Yeah.
I don't care about the money. Oh, wait a minute. You're going to make me the highest paid ever. Okay, I'm cool. We're good.
Yeah, keep in mind, Browns were 3-14. The Bengals were 9-8 last year. I think the Bengals turned around despite their defensive woes. Not paying Henderson at this point. Jermaine Pratt's now gone. He's with the Raiders. Anarumo's gone, defensive coordinator, which, let's face it, they had a bad defense. They're bad. I don't think it was all his fault. They just had no talent on that side of the ball because they've spent all their money on offense. And it is the defensive coordinator that knew how to play the Chiefs. And that is the biggest stumbling block for the Bengals in the AFC is the Kansas City Chiefs. And you get rid of the one guy that really slowed him down. So, hey, nice for Cincinnati. Nice for who doesn't have their first round pick.
I think he went to Indianapolis, right? To be the DC there.
He did. So, Shamar Stewart, not signed. Only first round pick, not signed. Member of the Bengals. Last year, Marius Mims was their tackle they selected. Last first round pick signed, but he did sign. So, you know, props to the Bengals. So, anyway, that was kind of their worst to first. I don't see it. I know that it's been a popular thing in the AFC West for people to pick the chart. I saw Coward and McIntyre arguing the other day, and they actually put the Chiefs back to third in the division.
They said we might not even make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's been out there too.
I mean, that's how you know it's the summer. They've got nothing to talk about.
But 9 straight division titles. And despite getting hammered by the Eagles in the Super Bowl, they did win 15 games. And they threw one away at Denver at the end of the year. They won 15 still. And they still went to the Super Bowl.
Correct.
And they won their division by 4 games. The only division in the AFC that had 3 playoff teams from last year. Which, honestly, is probably their most impressive run out of the 9.
And people want to say, well, they won a lot of games close. They had some questionable calls go their way. I'm sorry. You win 15 games. That's a lot more than luck. That's a lot more than a call going your way here and there. That team was dominant. They lost one game all regular season in which they tried. The last game against Denver, nobody played in, doesn't count. That team really went 17-2 last year together.
But I'll say this much. This division does have the best head coaches.
It might be the best head coach division ever.
Yeah, I mean, you just think about the rings. It's Ring City.
Yeah.
Reed's got three.
Yeah. Sean Payton's got one.
Sean Payton's got the one.
Pete Carroll's got one.
Pete Carroll's got that. Plus, he's got two from college.
Right.
And Jim Harbaugh, none, but he's been in the Super Bowl, but he won a ring in college football.
At Michigan, yeah. I mean, it's the oldest, I think, of all time.
And the quarterbacks are good, too. I mean, these are. So the quarterbacks in this division are good. So, yeah, I think the coach-quarterback combination in the AFC West is the toughest. So the Chiefs did win the division by four. And no one cares. Like 2 years ago, they're not looking saying, Houston only won that game by 3 points. Like, no one cares. Did you win or did you lose? And that's the way the Chiefs season is going to be remembered. We kind of get out of this. So people look back and say, well, yeah, they blocked a field goal against the Broncos, but that won't be part of the deal. You see a W next to the Broncos.
The Philadelphia Eagles last year had to hang on for dear life to beat the Saints. Sometimes you don't have your best games. The team that blows everybody out in the last 5 years has been Buffalo, and they can't get over the hump.
But the Raiders, that's the one thing about them, they would always find a way to lose at the end. And a lot of NFL teams will find a way to lose at the end, whether it's penalty, whether it's turnovers, they'll find a way to lose. The Chiefs found a way to win, and there's something to be said for that. Like, there's something to be said for teams that just find that way to win, regardless. Jackson Ogden producing the operation. I'm going to get to some over-under totals.
I love it.
For some NFL teams and whether we like it or we don't like it. But coming up next, Andy Reid spoke today at training camp. In case you missed it, I'll play that because he spoke a lot about Travis Kelce's condition, Kareem Hunt, what he expects from him. Jake Brenningstuhl even got some mention in the press conference as well, what the left tackle situation looks like. So you can hear from Andy Reid today coming up next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden producing the operation. Little Ozzy, man. R.I.P. Ozzy, man.
Rest in peace, man.
Yeah. It's been a bad week. A lot of people, Theo Huxtable, Ozzy, Hulk. I mean, they come in threes, right?
Unfortunately, man.
We got another weather report. Someone's asking me when I'm going twister chasing. Tonight's not a good night to chase twisters. It'll be a lot of rain. Sporadic rain at the airport. So now we have rain at Lake Lotawana. We got some at the airport. I don't know. It's going to be overnight. It's going to have a lot of rain. It's a good thing the Royals aren't playing.
I'll take it. It's been so hot.
The Royals game would have been canceled tonight had they played.
For sure.
By the way, Ian Rappaport puts more news on Christian Wilkins saga. He says the Raiders are attempting to void $35.25 million in remaining guarantees. A grievance was filed to fight it on Wilkins' behalf.
Unsurprisingly, well, I would say.
You don't trust the union right now? They get their own issues, man. Their leader was going to strip bars with the union money.
Yeah, NFLPA's had some tough days in the last couple of weeks.
No, they have. They have, so that's interesting where that'll end up. So we'll see where that goes. Oh, by the way, yesterday, Jax, we had a lot of fun, and I wanted to hear your opinion because I was getting people's opinions on this, text line and callers, whatever. I mentioned Brett Veach's top three moves ever. It could have been like the 2022 draft. It could be, flipping Parker Anger for Sharius Ward. It could have been the Orlando Brown deal when he didn't have a left tackle and he had to get one and he got Nick Bolton pick 58 back in that trade. Mine one was picking Harrison Butker off the practice squad for the Panthers, his first big move when he became GM in 2017. That was mine. What's yours?
Yeah, the
Your
Butker
favorite Veach moment.
The Butker one's a great one. I'm going to pick one that's pretty obvious. He wasn't even GM at the time, but vouching for Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
He was a gigantic Mahomes guy.
He was.
Back
he was.
To Mahomes' freshman year at Texas Tech.
He was a scout for the Chiefs.
Right.
He was really banging the drum.
I think that's always going to be Mahomes. His biggest.
Stayed in contact with him.
That's his legacy, right? He brings the Super Bowls here. He was the visionary that saw something in Pat that others didn't.
Well, even Reed's acknowledged that. And then Lee Steinberg, Mahomes' agent, came on one night, and he was talking like, Veach blew up his phone on draft night. Right? He was instrumental.
I think
he's also instrumental on Kareem Hunt being a Chief.
I think one thing that I'll say is after the Tampa Super Bowl with Brett, bringing in Tooney, Trey Smith, and Creed Humphrey. I mean, that was, he revamped it completely.
I just think kind of what he's done in the draft, taking a sixth rounder in Trey, and that's the highest paid
guard
in the league. Creed Humphrey, second round, highest paid center in the league. Harrison Butker, as we mentioned, highest paid kicker in the league, but was on the practice squad of the Panthers, so we brought him over. And then Jones wasn't his pick, but Veach was an SEC scout at the time. Chris Jones played at Mississippi State. You connect 2 + 2 and see if it comes to 4 on that, if he was involved. But 3 when he's GM, 3 of the 4 in the GM. So his problem is he picks all these guys in other rounds and ends up having to pay him his first-round picks. I mentioned Mike Dana, too. Here's a guy that didn't even get invited to the combine, but the Chiefs took a, you know, a stab on getting him and bringing him in. So, and you look at the draft this year, it's rhyme and reason with each person that it got because they all had a specialized skill. You know, Omar Norman Lotz, you know, quarterback rate, sack rate when he was there, Austin Lotti as far as pressure rate, Noah Williams leading the nation interceptions, even picking off Cam Ward last season when Cal played Miami. So there's a rhyme or reason for everything. But there's always something for Brett, favorite moments for him. But here's Andy Reid from today. It's only 6 minutes of Andy Reid from the day. Just state of the Chiefs now, 3 days into it. He does mention several Chiefs that are pretty important.
Because he'd be a heck of a coach if he decides to go that way. He'd be tremendous. But we wish he and his family all the best going forward here. With that, it's been great to get out here, get these days in. We've had 3 really good days of work where we get ones against ones, twos against twos, threes against threes. So there's some competition there and some good solid work. It's ramp up period. We've got another day or two of this, and then we start right in with pads and on Sunday.
What's your reaction when you heard that he was retiring? And secondly, what's his legacy in your opinion?
Yeah, well, the legacy is great ball skills, great player, great guy. Always been a team captain everywhere he's been at, including here. He got a Super Bowl championship here, and he was a leader on defense. So I think he'll leave all that behind. But and that's not even talking about being, if he chose to do that throughout his career, he probably would have set all the records of punt return. So he was tremendous at that. Anyway, I could go on and on about him. The honey badger. That'll be part of the legacy also. He would sit on the bench there and he'd make all kinds of funny noises. You know, not only did he have the blonde hair, but he'd be over there making all those noises. But what a great kid. Loved coaching him.
Pete Humphrey, I wonder if you could sum up what he's meant to you guys and what do you think enables his success?
Yeah, well, and he's still young, so he's a very good athlete, great balance, ex-wrestler, great balance and upper body strength. He's got lower body, one of the stronger guys on the team, and he's got a nice feel for the game, plus he's very intelligent. Yeah.
Andy, what do you see from Tyquan so far?
Yeah, I like what I've seen. He's working hard at it. He's made some big catches out here. Working his routes, playing physical in his transition game there. So you just got to keep coming. Right? We're still young in this thing, so we got to keep bringing it here.
How has Simmons and Moore looked so far at your tackle spots?
Yeah, they've done some good things. They're getting better. They get better and better every day. So it's been good that way. Young guys working. Well, looking forward to getting the pads. It's hard to evaluate them in doing this, but it's we'll see how they do with the pads on.
Andy, early impressions of Jalen Royals too. Your rookie receiver Jalen Royals.
Yeah.
Just early impressions of him.
Yeah. So he looks like he's very smart because we're in our third install here today, and we load him up with plays early, and he's been able to retain a lot of the things the newer stuff that we introduced to him before and the new stuff we've introduced now. So that's a good sign. And then he's made some catches. You've seen it out here. He's made some catches. And does he have a long way to go? Yeah, well, he's got to keep working and work through all of this. And we'll see how it goes when everything's flying.
Andy, what have your impressions been of Gardner Minshew so far leading the second team? He's been around the league, a lot of different systems, and how he's adapted to your offense.
Yeah, you can see that with Gardner. He you can see that he's smart, he's got good accuracy, poise, I think it's great to have him here. We're pleased to have him here. And you kind of have a heads up because he's actually started in games, so you kind of know how he handles the pressure in that. So we liked what we saw on tape, and I've seen the same thing here. So we should be fine.
Coach, you might have the best view of anybody because you're standing behind Patrick during practice. Are there still moments that you see him do something on a day like this would just be like, geez, where did that come from? Or are you just so focused on what's going on that it doesn't kick in sometimes?
No, I tell the coaches this all the time. You never take that for granted. So appreciate every one of those throws he makes, because you don't get that very often in a career and as a coach. Yeah, absolutely. There are times I go, whoa, that was pretty good right there now. So, yeah.
Coach Reed, after heavy workload last year, what are you expecting out of Kareem Hunt this year?
Yeah, you know, he's had an off season. He kind of missed two off seasons there, and he had this off season, worked hard. Now he's coming into training camp. He's in good shape, and I would expect good things. He'll be in there rotating and doing his thing, and he's just a good, solid football player. I love having him here. Yeah, so Brett gets a credit for that one. He loved him and loved what he saw, and so far the kid has done a nice job. Again, let's see how he does when things get going, but he's working in there. Looks like the quarterbacks trust him. They're throwing it to him. So it's positive. Yeah.
Last one, mate. Andy, he's been with you the longest, I should say, but I know it's just 3 days in. Any difference you're seeing in the way Travis is moving before you get to pads?
Yeah, he's felt right now. It looks like he's 20. He's doing a good job. He's in great shape. And I'm not sure he didn't come in first on the whole conditioning thing. He was right up front. You can see he's been working out. You saw him yesterday on the long one where he had the burst, and so he's doing a nice job. He's worked hard to get to this spot here. So
I'll comment on a few things Andy Reid said there, because he basically hit them all, man. All the buttons that people want to talk about. By the way, the Adam Schefter just put this out about the Christian Wilkins thing again. I'll bring this up.
Update me. The NFL, I want the juicy details.
They had 50 days to file a grievance on behalf of Christian Wilkins. After the Raiders voided the $35.25 million worth of guaranteed money in his contract on June 4th.
Okay.
$8 million for this year, $27.25 million for next year. The grievance was filed this morning. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that dangerously close to, 24 days this month? There was 26.
We're right about
between
there.
June 4th to 30, when this kind of like right at 50 days?
We're right about the 50-day mark, yeah.
They had other things going on, right? But anyway, Christian probably called, hey, you guys got to do that grievance. What's going on?
Right.
Not Christian, but the Raiders, they probably called it. League, what are you doing, man? Let's get this thing going. But anyway, Andy Reid talks about a lot of different issues there and subjects. I'll bring some of that up stuff next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden producing the operation. Schefter put this out a second ago, too. Notable names from the 2024 NFL free agent class. You know how everybody just clamors, sign them. Kirk Cousins. Other than Kirk Cousins, all these players either were traded or released after just one season. Average annual salary, $45 million for Cousins, still there. Christian Wilkins, $27.5 million, average annual, gone. Bryce Huff of the Eagles, $17 million, gone. Jonah Jackson, $17 million annual, gone. Gabe Davis, $13 million, gone. Gardner Minshew was part of this with the Raiders, $12.5 million, gone. Awuzie from the Titans, $12 million a year, gone. Again, it goes back. It's like the Panthers were the biggest spending team in free agency last year, and they didn't sniff the playoffs. The Titans spent the most on defense last year in free agency. They were first pick on the clock. So these things do happen, but everybody says spend. You know what's funny? You go back even like the last 10 years and look at the top spending team in free agency and just how bad they ended up being that season. I mean, it looks great, but again, football is such a different sport, man. You guys you think are going to be great, you fall off that cliff fast, man.
I mean, you've either got a rookie quarterback if you're able to spend that much in free agency, or you're not very good if you can spend that much in free agency. Not many teams like the Chiefs that win a lot have a lot of flexibility in free agency. They're paying a lot of good players.
Yeah, 100% right. Some of the things Andy Reid said there, because he hit on a bunch of different things. People firing out things like Jake Benning's school. How's he look? Clemson undrafted rookie. It's kind of a camp guy. Like, I heard people talk about some of the draft picks as camp guys and stuff. Those aren't camp guys. Camp guys are the Mike Catapanos of the world. Camp guys are the Jody Fortsons. You know, Jake Benningstool is a camp guy. That is a true camp guy because he's going to get, you know, people are going to like him. And they're going to see what he can do. He's like Brian Shea back in the day, the pale of comment with the Chiefs. I mean, those are true camp guys.
I mean, someone's got to take Justin Ross's spot this year. He's been MVP for 2-3 years straight now.
Yeah. Who won this release. The Chiefs granted it, clearly. Right. But you can't get on the field with all the injuries to the Chiefs. Yeah, it's a you problem. One thing he talked about was Mahomes' throws in camp and how it still amazes him and stuff like that, everything he does. Do you ever hear about 2017 up in camp when he was there his rookie year, he was behind, you know, Alex Smith and all that, and he was making these passes during training camp. And like Veach and a lot of the other coaches and stuff, they'd go up in the dorms and watch film work because they were concentrating other parts of the team at that point instead of what, you know, your backup quarterback's doing on the football field. But he was just carving people up, man. They were going back and looking at some of those throws. And I sit here and think, all right, because Derek Johnson's talked about it and other guys about what Mahomes was doing to him in practice. Because you don't just go from backup to league MVP without having that inherent talent. And did it take him time to grow? Yeah, I'll give Alex Smith credit. He helped groom him, get him to practice early, show him the ropes, have him to dinner, do those things. I think that did help. I think it was the perfect storm to have a guy like Alex willing to do that for Patrick Mahomes. But, man, I know Alex played actually decent in that Titans playoff game, but can you imagine had they made that switch to Mahomes at halftime? Would you be talking about 8 straight AFC title games for Mahomes had that happen? Because they wouldn't have had any really film on him except for what he did at Texas Tech. That would have caught their pants down had they made that switch to Mahomes. Because remember, the Chiefs had a lead in the first half. And, you know, would have, could have, should have had they made that switch at some point in that second half. I think they win the game.
Yeah, I mean, Kelsey getting knocked out cold was a big turning point in that game.
Hurt.
And Mariota catching his own pass. It just felt like that game wasn't meant to be. But you're right. The week before, Mahomes got to play his first actual meaningful NFL snaps, and he carved up Denver with just Albert Wilson to throw to. Oh. None of the guys were playing.
He got Albert Wilson a huge contract in Miami. And then as soon as 100%. He went there, he's on the back of a milk carton.
100%.
Right? Mahomes is a moneymaker at that point. And Albert Wilson should forever send birthday cards, Christmas cards, Happy Thanksgiving cards. Hell, even celebrate Arbor Day to Patrick Mahomes for getting him money.
Reminds me a lot of LeBron getting guys paid. Timofey Mozgov, here's $100 million. Matthew Dellavedova, here's a bag.
Well, think about Belichick's tree. You know, all the Bill O'Briens of the world, the Romeo Crennels, Charlie Weiss, all these dudes that go out, they get paid by colleges or NFL teams to be head coaches. Think about that gravy train. Think about all the money Tom Brady made different players.
And they always end up back home, right? Back to New England. That's how it always went.
Well, even Johnny Manziel. He made David Beatty money because Beatty would have been the head coach at Kansas had he not been a great recruiter at Texas A&M. He brought Johnny in there. And everybody's like, oh, man, this guy, you know, can he coach or not? I mean, I still think that was the right direction for that team instead of a Charlie Weiss or they've gone flash. They went flash. Now they got substance in Lance Leipold there. At there, but Reed's talked about some other things, and I'm going to talk about it too. Because the Honey Badger, Jalen Royals in the system as well, Kareem Hunt, and what to expect. But he did address other things. I'll get to those next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.